Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 53rd episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. Today, I'm excited to share the first in a short series, the new segment that I'm doing this year, the origin stories of plant medicine makers. So a couple years ago, for longtime listeners, you'll probably remember the tarot storytelling segment. And I wanted to switch it up this year and try doing plant person origin stories. And I wanted to say plant person because, you know, I consider myself a plant witch, but not everybody likes the term witch. And herbalist, you know, can be, you know, I think being a folk herbalist is something that's more and more common as many of us are grounding into our ancestral knowledge. But then some of us, such as myself, who are not clinical herbalists, maybe aren't as comfortable being called herbalists. So I chose plant person, plant medicine makers. So today's episode, there is a story from Sam from Strego Botanica, Raven from Moon Medicine, and Rachel from Bitter Witch Apothecary. And I felt like these three stories really complemented each other and went well together, and I decided to group them together, and that's what I like to do, is listen to all the stories and then put them together in a way that each one complements all the others. So I hope you enjoy it, and if you're interested in working with any of these folks or learning more about their offerings, I will have their Instagram and website linked in the show notes. As always, if you enjoy this podcast and you want to support it and you want to get extra content and a 20% discount in the apothecary and a 25% discount on tarot readings, you can go to www.patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, and all of that is available for a pledge of $5 a month at a minimum, and it's super helpful in keeping this podcast sustainable. DIY podcasts are a lot of work, so shout out to all my patrons. The other news that I have that's exciting is on Friday, I announced that I'm teaching Tarot Summer School, and I have been asked by so many people in the last couple of years to teach a tarot class. And while I do teach small workshops on the new moon, along with the folks I'm apprenticing in the Plant Witch Apprenticeship course, Plant Witch Mentorship course. So when we put together the new moon workshops, we talk about a lot of the energetics of that moon, the astrological transits, the plant magic and rituals that are related to that sign in astroherbology, and we do a lot of work with tarot as well. But as far as teaching a tarot class, I have not really done that. I guess I did about 2 years ago in Eureka. I taught a class called Tarot Storytelling. And one of the reasons that I haven't is, you know, there's a lot of tarot teachers out there that are doing really amazing work. And I also think tarot is sort of a journey on its own that every individual needs to take. But I also think there's this call for more folks to learn and get comfortable with it in these times. So I really want to open that up, and I created this curriculum, and it's really based on tarot as a liberatory practice and tarot as a tool for self-empowerment, but also for dismantling systems of oppression, because we know that this is a really old divination tool that came from Italy and parts of Western Europe. And a lot of the imagery in the traditional deck is still very heteronormative, very white. And we as a collective, I think, are really breaking out of that because we're recognizing the fact that magic is inherently anti-capitalist, magic is inherently anti-white supremacy, and it is existing outside of any binary of gender at all. So I'm really excited about this. It's going to be kind of an intensive 5 weeks. I have two sessions open. One is on Saturday afternoons, about 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It is at 2 o'clock. And the other is Wednesdays at 5 Pacific Standard Time. The Sunday session, I just announced it on Friday. My patrons had first dibs. And at this point on Monday afternoon, the Sunday session is almost sold out. So jump on it if you want to get in there. I'm also offering partial and full scholarships. And I want to just be clear, this is like, I want this information to be accessible, especially to folks that have had to bear the brunt the most of systemic violence. So I really encourage folks who are, you know, low and no income, who are BIPOC, who are queer, trans folk, undocumented folks, sex workers, people that have like real limited access, especially in COVID times, to money, to contact me about a partial or a full scholarship. But I will say I'm a working class person. I have a ton of debt. I have disabilities of my own. So please take that into consideration. The class is $222, which I think is pretty affordable considering all the information you're going to get and all the activities that are included in this class. So if you can pay that, or if you have people in your life that can help you out with that payment, of course, that is preferable because this witch is trying to make it in capitalism just like everyone else. However, that said, as a person that has white privilege, as a person that has benefited from other, you know, systemic, you know, being white is a huge systemic privilege in this extremely racist culture, but also being cishet passing, my disabilities are largely invisible. Like, I do have other privileges in my life. So I really want to extend this first and foremost, the partial and full scholarships to BIPOC, to undocumented folks, sex workers, etc. We're going to be doing 5 weeks classes on Zoom. The first one is going to be really intensive about the major arcana, and then there'll be a class each week after that about each of the minor arcana, and we'll be talking about astroherbology, we'll be talking about elemental magic, ritual, and we'll be talking about you know, planetary transits and plants that correspond with the cards and with the elements. And my goal is to really help people gain a new level to their tarot practice and to solidify the things that they already know, and be able to expand in this way and you know, open up their portals to their guides and their ancestors. So we're going to start at the beginning of June. Super stoked. I can't believe how much interest has come through already. I love y'all. Definitely reach out soon. If you need a payment plan, if you want to be considered for a scholarship, please send me an email. I will leave a link in the show notes for info about how to learn more about this class. So yeah, Tarot Summer School, Tarot in a Liberatory Modern Day Context. Thank you again so much for being here and listening to this podcast. I appreciate y'all so much. Remember to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you like the podcast, if it's speaking to you. I have gotten some really cool reviews lately, and I hope to get a few more. So yeah, show your support, take a screenshot, post it on Instagram. Just get the word out, because this is real independent media. This is storytelling, and it's self-care as an act of resistance. So I hope you enjoy this segment of Plant Person Origin Stories.
Ciao. I'm Samantha Blancato of Strega Botanica, and this is my plant person origin story. So, to give credit where it's due, since I really didn't come to herbalism of my own volition, You know, rather, this way of life has really been the only way I've known, largely due to my bisnona, my great-grandma Julia, Zuzu we call her. And, you know, largely the chosen family that I've been raised by, comprised mostly of herbalists and farmers, you know, and immigrants, poor immigrants who, both out of necessity and tradition, really held on to their ancestral ways, and who largely, you know, by society would be considered poor people. But my experience is that there's really nothing poor about these people. So Zuzu immigrated here in the late 1930s. She was pregnant. She didn't necessarily want to come, but she really felt she had no other choice after she was basically pushed off her land after choosing to leave her partner, whom subjected her to, you know, constant domestic abuse, violence. She decided to flee. And she brought with her a cornucopia of knowledge and skills, seeds. And she really made sure to keep these ways alive and, you know, our small family here. Though I was born here, I was born in Connecticut at home. I spent the first few years of my life in Sicily and Sardinia with my mom, who returned to help take care of a sick family member. And though I don't have much conscious memory of this time, I've come to realize how much it's informed me in my life. When we got back to the States, I was basically my great-grandma's sidekick. You know, I grew up helping her in the garden, watching her and my other elders preserve food, make medicine. I got to witness a bunch of home births. My experience really is so distant from the standard American one. And I also had a really emotionally charged childhood. You know, I was really often very sad and riddled with anxiety about the world and the many things that were so out of my control as a little person. And between my herbalist mom and Zuzu and Eleanor, who's a close family friend and the person who actually went on to be my lifelong teacher, through them and their help and their guidance, and of course the guidance of the plants, I was really early on introduced to some of my lifelong plant allies, plants such as chamomile, and mugwort, rose, belladonna, to name a few. You know, for years, I really only got any sleep through the help of some chamomile tea and this dream pillow that I was gifted that was filled with mugwort and had a little hand-stitched blue fairy on it. I'll never forget that pillow. But yeah, so I mean, point being that my upbringing was super alternative. You know, I grew up doing things like talking about dreams around the kitchen table and, you know, just helping my family grow the majority of our food and baking and just doing all these things that, you know, as a kid maybe didn't always seem so cool when I started to realize that my friends' families didn't do this sort of shit. But as a young adult, I'm incredibly grateful. And plant medicine was really the main healthcare modality in my household. Certainly out of a need and lack of access to modern medicine, but also out of like a deeply ingrained belief in kitchen medicine and in prevention over cures. But you know, but even with this early life experience, I definitely didn't ever think that I would be a business owner or be making products for people outside of my family and friends. I really never saw herbalism as a job so much as like just a way of living. When I was 15, though, I took a trip back to Italy with Zuzu to attend a relative's funeral. And it was there that I attended a serpent festival that takes place in the Abruzzo region. And it was just totally life-changing in a way that I don't really know I'll ever be able to describe. But it was just so incredibly magical and energetically charged. And I spent a lot of time listening to older women tell stories that really hit so close to home. It was almost as if like I had lived them before. And it was really then and there that I decided that I wanted to be a storyteller. Not even like an author, just a straight up storyteller. Though, of course, I didn't really know like what that looked like at all. And a few months after that trip, when we got back to the States again, Zuzu passed on. And because she knew it was her time, she made a point to sit down with me and pass on to me like a literal chest of ancestral artifacts, journals and recipe books, family information, more seeds. And you know, she made me promise her to continue to care for the garden and to make sure that I didn't dismiss these things, you know, as I continued to grow up in this modern world. And that garden is my garden today. It's the same garden that I grow all of the plants for that go into the offerings that I make. And then, you know, a couple years later when I was 18, that dear elder that I mentioned, Eleanor, she is a midwife and an herbalist and a farmer and a teacher, and she invited me to come and apprentice with her. And I that's it I did that basically just up until a couple years ago. So it was about, oh, I guess 7 to 8 years of, you know, making medicine, deepening my understanding of plants and how to properly steward them, and you know, learning to distill, gaining clinical experience. You know, at the time when I was involved in it, I didn't realize like how rare these things are becoming. So again, this is something that I'm extremely grateful for. I really don't know where I would be without that time. And then I think, you know, the last really key thing for me, that took place that was essentially the start of SB, was my dad dying, when I was, shit, how old was I? I think I was 23, 24. Yeah, my dad died suddenly and tragically. And it was almost without any sort of conscious thought that I immediately, I started this venture. I started, you know, just putting name and shape to the things that I'd already been doing and pushing it out into the world, even though it at first made me really deeply uncomfortable to do so. And it's continued to evolve and take shape from there. And I'm in this period right now where I'm really feeling like it's continuing to do that, and it's continuing to morph and evolve. And you know, as I continue to follow the call, I'll see where it leads me. Thank you so much again for including me in this. Much love to you.
My name is Raven Rose. I am a menstrual health herbalist. My practice is called Moon Medicine, and I help people with any kind of menstrual health issues or just a general disconnection from the womb space. My path to my work began with my own menstrual pain and healing from endometriosis. But my plant connection started when I was a kid and long before my first blood. As a child, my mom would give me ginger tea to help with stomach aches. I remember drinking mint teas before bed. And I grew up in a Caribbean household. My mom is from Jamaica, my dad is from Cuba, and both of my grandmothers had amazing gardens where they grew vegetables and herbs. So having herbs in the home was common for me, and I think that helped me later on in life when I turned back to herbs. But I remember my mom giving me things like onion tea to help with colds, and that kind of turned me off. There was also a time when she tried to get me to drink a washout tea. A washout tea is a tea that helps to cleanse your body. It's usually a liver herb or herb that helps to support the kidneys. In this case, it was Sarasi. Sarasi is a very, very bitter herb, and I remember the first time I drank that Sarasi tea, I was turned off from bitter herbs for years. I didn't come back to them until I was deep into my healing process. So for 7 years, I was in the medical world. Once my pain got bad with endometriosis, which I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but I was just in the medical world. I was in the medical system. I didn't have any say in my healing process. I didn't know what was happening with my body, and I didn't know where to turn. So after 7 years of being on the pill and being in depression and being extremely disconnected from my body, I decided to work on my healing process on my own. And that's when I rediscovered my connections with plants. I started taking herbal tinctures that I found at the health food store, And I decided to start growing some herbs just because I wanted to have things in my kitchen. I grew up again with, you know, grandmothers who would go and gather herbs from the garden to season chicken and to add to the pots of beans or rice that they were making. So this was something that I wanted to do as well. It was just natural, and I went and bought some basil plants and sage and thyme. I even bought a tulsi plant, and I got this mystery plant from the nursery that I was really drawn to, but I didn't know what it was. It looked like it needed some help, and I thought I could help it. So I brought this plant back, and later on I found out that it was lemon balm, and it was a plant that was really helpful for me at that time when I was caring for it. It was also very much caring for me. It was around that time when I was growing these plants that I started to have dreams about plants. The first big one was a dream about tulsi. And in this dream, I went out to my little garden area, which was basically just a few potted plants on this narrow strip of wood chips at the front of my little apartment. And I saw this plant, and it had fallen over, and I was so worried. I could feel the anxiety in this dream. I could feel it in my body, the stress and the worry about this plant and if it was going to make it. And it took me a little while to really interpret that dream and understand that tulsi was trying to show me how it was used and how it helped to soothe and restore the nervous system, and help to help me to manage stress and to process those emotions and worry and fear in my body. So that was my first big plant dream, and I had many more after that. I dreamed of blue vervain, another wonderful herb that helped me in my healing process, helped me to balance my hormones and helped me to restore health with my thyroid. So those dreams continued and formed into dreams about my ancestors and dreams about ancestral trauma and healing ancestral trauma that was still living within me. I remember doing a project for my women's herbalism and ethnobotany course where I had to study herbs of my ancestry and how they were used. And this was something that I was so excited to do because I had done it years earlier when I was looking at herbal smoking blends to help with my pain. So I kind of reopened those books and looked at herbs and how they were used for dream work, because that was something that was really interesting to me at the time. And I learned about how my ancestors in South Africa would work with herbs to help them understand the healing process for themselves and how to help other people. And I was so drawn to this, and it became a part of me. And I did a 6-night dream work ritual working with these herbs. And I discovered so much about myself. I received my name, Raven Rose, from my ancestors through this dream work. And eventually, this led to me having my own practice and working with other people. And I incorporated my 4 years of herbal studies, but I also incorporated all the things that I learned from plants and working with them directly, just sitting with them, dreaming with them. My connections with plants has grown so deep over the years. And if there's one thing that I can recommend for other people when they are looking to connect with plants, it's to sit with them, dream with them, and grow them. And plants help me to find my path as an herbalist, helping people with their menstrual cycles and womb spaces. But also, I think that plants can help people find their path no matter what your path is. Whether it's an herbalist, a photographer, a doula, a doctor, whatever your path is, I truly believe that plants can help you get there.
It may have been my mom who instilled a deep love for gardening in me from a young age. or enduring trauma and loss as a teen that pointed me on a path to my own healing. It could be something I just had a natural tendency for, but growing up, both of my parents shared a deep love of gardening and horticultural tendencies. When I was a young girl, my mom wrote and published an elementary school gardening curriculum. She also ran the program at my elementary school, so I was deeply immersed in the world of gardening from a young age. I also watched my dad come home every weekend from his stressful job as a newspaper editor in the city to retreat into the garden. They took us on many a nature worshipping adventure. My parents instilled a deep love of plants and a fascination with the cycles of nature. As a young teen, I experienced trauma and loss when my father passed away suddenly and I found him. A psychologist put me on antidepressants, and I was having adverse reactions, so she had me try St. John's wort. It became clear to me that the plant medicine I had always been drawn to was potentially much more useful than I realized. I started purchasing herbal books, the kind that list herbs and their uses, and reading them from cover to cover. I planted herbs in pots outside my little Airstream trailer on the river and in front of various apartments throughout my early 20s. I worked at a small family-owned campground on the river as a host, checking people in and keeping the grounds. I fell deeply in love with the landscape there. I also worked many a waitressing job. Late in my 20s, I started my own business selling vintage clothing and went back to junior college to study psychology. I was working three jobs, a waitressing one, running my online shop, and working a trim job on the side, as well as going to school. I was burning the candle at both ends. I knew I was exhausted, but I managed to run and take dance classes and cook delicious, nutritious food. That was when my health suddenly shifted in a way I had never experienced before. One day I was standing in the kitchen and woke up on the floor with no recollection of how I ended up there. I started having these out-of-body experiences regularly. The medical community deemed the episodes neurocardiogenic syncope. During these episodes, my heart stops for about 30 seconds and then it starts beating again. They have brought me more deeply into alignment with my body. They are terrifying. They also made me realize how often women are asked to live outside ourselves, ignore our womb space, our natural rhythms, our intuition, and our natural bodies. Anytime I didn't listen to my body, I got worse. When I ignored my intuition regarding my illness, I put myself in danger. And I did a lot of those things at the request of my doctors. It dawned on me one night when I was crying over the dismissal of yet another male doctor, that it was the condemnation of wise folk, women, witches, and healers that had brought medicine to the point where women are told their symptoms are psychosomatic and diseases that disproportionately affect women are ignored altogether. Starting in the virtual space and branching into my real life quicker than I had imagined, I began to reclaim the word witch. The natural unfolding of sacred knowledge that occurs with this reclamation is almost astonishing. Persecution and patriarchy have pushed women's ways underground for ages. Little did they know our roots only grow stronger in that state of dormancy. There is less fear of judgment in the virtual space, and technology allows for freedom sharing ideas that is absolutely pure alchemical magic. I could not be more grateful to live in an age where women's ways are rising again. I long for magic in every aspect of my life, and when I am not connected to my own rhythms and the plants, my body physically suffers. I work from home, running my own online shops, and I'm perfectly content to garden and wander my days away at the base of the Sierra Nevada mountain range I love. My relationship with my health is something I struggle with lately. My relationship to my body hasn't always been this way, but the change has brought me into a deeper alignment with my magic and exploration of healing. The only way this experience makes sense is when I share it and give a voice to those living with this illness that can seriously take everything from a person. It is the entire reason I started an apothecary and named it Bitter Witch. Bitter Witch Apothecary was born from the path I am walking, and the work I do is very much informed by my struggle with chronic illness. After pushing my body and spirit nearly to the breaking point with graded exercise, sleep studies, therapy, countless appointments, and tests, I was absolutely forced to be in my body, to listen to its ways of knowing, and to come into communion with the plants to start to heal myself, because it became very clear that modern medicine was not going to. Even the best doctors could tell me what mechanism was happening, but they could never fully explain the root cause. The underlying condition that causes the chronic inflammation in my body is called myalgic encephalomyelitis. It took me 3 years of very extreme symptoms and countless doctors to receive that diagnosis at Stanford. My inflammatory markers are 3 times those of a normal person, and my body was at the time fighting several active viral infections. The inflammation was causing the loss of consciousness, along with a ton of other symptoms. Myalgic encephalomyelitis is most common in women, and often misdiagnosed as psychological. It is also not uncommon, with as many as 200,000 new cases per year in the U.S. alone. It is, however, generally misunderstood by the medical community, and cases like mine that go unsolved for years are more common than not. This experience further deepened my personal understanding of how patriarchy, along with modern medicine, built on the persecution of women, witches, healers, and wise folk, was failing me personally and causing me a great deal of physical and emotional suffering. There is so much I want to share, and although my illness has been a catalyst for my current work, I also want to make it clear that it often feels like a barrier to my success. I simply can't work a 40-hour work week. I often can't work a 20-hour one. But what I can do, the work I feel has been laid out in front of me, is to help to untangle the mess that has been created by systems of oppression, to stand tall in my witchery, because in doing so, I not only begin to heal myself, but a lot of other madness in the process. I have vowed in my practice to honor my intuition, turn to the plants, and listen to my body. We are the creatrix, and the power has been there all along.
Listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.